Leon Black, the billionaire co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has long been tied to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal through massive payments and a close association that he himself has called a horrible mistake. Yet he shelled out $62.5 million in 2023 to the U.S. Virgin Islands to settle and avoid any potential claims tied to Epstein's operations there, where some of those funds indirectly supported Epstein's island empire.
The headline should be Leon Black paid Jeffrey Epstein $158 million for services over 5 years as like a tax advisor. This is a story of a U.S. billionaire paying a convicted sex offender hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, with the lending, it brings him $200 million into Jeffrey Epstein. And the report found that he visited Epstein's home in New York multiple times and his other homes around the world as well. In order to, like, what, cut his tax bill by $1 or $2 billion, which even that strikes me as concerning.
The leaked document from the Epstein files from 2026 DOJ releases consists of heavily redacted attorney notes from a May 2023 call. Multiple women accused Black of violent rape, often under the guise of massages. One described 7 to 8 years of sadistic abuse, including vaginal biting, causing excruciating pain and bleeding. Another claimed a brutal assault with head slamming. A third, a developmentally disabled 16-year-old girl with autism and mosaic Down syndrome, alleged trafficking by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, forced to massage Black naked, then violently raped, causing severe rectal and vaginal injuries. Of course, Black has vehemently denied all involvement, calling the accusations baseless, uncorroborated, insisting he's never met certain accusers. And now the outrage is exploding nationwide because LifeTouch, the company behind school pictures for countless American kids across the country, is owned by Shutterfly, which Apollo Global Management controls through its funds.
The rumors have caused concern among parents around the country.
No one really thought anything of it until we started thinking about, okay, wait, who actually is seeing these pictures instead of just the parents?
LifeTouch, too, has responded, releasing a statement which reads in part, LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activities.
You want to know who owns those photos, and that's typically done by contract, and what can be done with the photos later between you and the photographer.
Stephen Clark is a South Bay-based attorney. He says it's important to read the fine print on consent forms for things like school photo shoots. Tech expert Ahmed Banafa agrees, especially given the chance of a data breach.
About 5 million pictures being sold on the dark web in 2023.
Meanwhile, in the latest torrent of Epstein documents, Woody Allen and Jess Staley emerge as another grotesque thread in the financier's web of influence. Allen pops up repeatedly in scheduling logs and emails, with Epstein even paying $15,000 for their kids' elite private school tuition. Emails between Woody Allen and Epstein reveal a conversation about cannibalism. Epstein says he didn't just cause heartburn, he ate them. Epstein says hearts. Then Allen says thanks. Allen says, at least I'm thinner. Epstein says, because you also eat the bones, providing fiber. Allen says, I don't like waste. Staley, the former J.P. Morgan rainmaker turned Barclays CEO, exchanged over 1,000 emails, some laced with creepy Disney princess references and young women's photos.
And so the New World Order is in deep trouble. They're basically done. And we should focus on the files we're suppressing. We should focus on the cover-up, but also focus on what we got.
A financial kingpin, a predator banker, and a legendary filmmaker, all orbiting the same twisted world of Jeffrey Epstein. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
To vote here. John Thomas and Philip Thomas. Is Gloria here by chance? Because she's 100 years old and she voted last election from here.
Can you see my... I
just want to make sure you're not 126 years old.
No, I'm not.
And do you think it's possible like illegal migrants could be voting?
Not really.
Do you know where the ballots might have gone? Like for 108 people, you know, that were registered here?
When it comes to fraud, most people think about money. However, there's another potential massive fraud story taking place in America, one tied to the most consequential system in our country, which is our voting system. This has to do with everything about who runs the country and how elections are actually controlled. And if we don't have voter integrity, what even are we? And there's one state that is the breeding ground for potential voting fraud, and that is California, where it can take up to 1 month to count all the votes, no voter ID, and millions of ballots are cast by mail. And with voter rolls that are extremely vulnerable to errors, such as over 200 people who are over the age of 125 years old registered to vote in certain areas. And now to see how easy it is to vote, I headed to the location to register to vote inside the state of California. Now, this is the register of voters right here, and I want to ask him, why don't you need voter ID to vote here inside of California? I was curious, how come in California you don't need voter ID to vote?
Because when you sign your affidavit, you're swearing that you're telling us the truth, and we compare the signature that you put on your application to the
battery 65%.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it leaves any room for error with voter ID, or... Yeah, I'm just like curious because I want to make sure that like our elections are as fair and honest as possible, and I feel like voter ID is just something super simple to have. And do you think it's possible like illegal migrants could be voting?
Not really. What, how? I mean, what's showing their ID?
Yeah, if they don't have their ID and they could just sign on behalf of Richard Sherman, then they could technically vote, right? Yeah, but what if they just don't care? What if like Richard Sherman and Billy Bob Joe just don't care? But so you don't think illegals would ever vote, would you?
I don't think so.
No. So instead of showing your ID, you sign your signature and then it is scanned to verify it is you. So technically speaking, anyone could show up saying they are someone, and if the signature is similar, that vote will then count. And with millions of people voting, it leaves room for fraud to occur. Just take these two examples.
A Southern California woman is facing 5 felonies after registering her dog to vote in 2 elections. The dog's vote was even counted in one of those elections. Those behind the stunt say she did it to show the flaws of the current system.
Hundreds of people who cast votes according to state records, but we found they've been dead for years, including a woman who died in 1988, and records show she somehow voted in 2014, 26 years after she passed away. Then there's Julita Aboutin. Records show she voted in Norwalk in 2014, 2012, 2010, and 2008. The only problem is she's buried here at Forest Lawn. Aboutin died in 2006.
Is it possible your mother
voted in 2014?
There's no way.
Aboutin's daughter, Maravik, says it's certainly impossible that her mother voted, but the L.A. County Registrar confirms they have signed vote-by-mail envelopes with her mother's name for the 2014 and 2012 election, even though she died 10 years ago.
So it's not some crazy conspiracy theory to think that people are illegally voting inside the state of California. And with the state receiving millions of illegal migrants, the opportunities for fraud now are even higher as millions of undocumented people are living inside of the state. Now let's go meet up with a man by the name of Urson who has dedicated years of his life digging through voter rolls, finding fraud and inconsistencies throughout the state. So how bad is the voter fraud here in California?
Well, we actually don't know because law enforcement isn't really investigating it and we don't have people qualified to actually figure that out.
And what kind of fraud is taking place?
Well, we have voter rolls of about 22 to 23 million people in California. And we have just in Orange County, per se, there's 60 to 70,000 changes a month that happens. So the amount of time and effort to go and follow up with every one of those, we just don't have the resources to do that.
And so what information have you been collecting about the voting fraud here in California?
We have people that are still in our rolls from 2008 that are still getting ballots mailed to them that haven't voted in 18, 16 years.
And so if they haven't voted, what's the problem with them receiving those ballots?
Well, sometimes there's votes that happen later on with someone that hasn't lived here for 12 years. And we found several occurrences of that. When we turn that in, those are treated as independent incidences that don't affect the outcome of the election. So they're highly disregarded from our concerns as voters.
And what information do we have right here?
Well, we've got several different pieces that we're looking at today. One thing that's just a simple anomaly for people to understand is there's people that show to be 125 years old in our voter rolls. And that's a simple data flaw, but the issue is it keeps happening over and over again to the tune of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in every county that's a large size like where we're at today. Another one is we have a lot of voters that are at central locations, 10, 12, 15 people at a place where what is this business? What is it doing? These people are still going to continue to get ballots. Another one is like a lot of the sororities and the dorm houses, you know, where we have typical turnout, you know, or voter turnout is like in the 50 to 70% range, but it's like 106 out of 108 votes cast. So it doesn't mean that that's fraud, but it means these are out of the normal order of what happens. And so that's what we're going to be going around and looking at today and seeing what's out there and what we can find. We have a system where you can register to vote in California without a driver's license number or social security number. Why do we allow that? That creates 9.6 million records that then the state has to send to the Social Security Administration. And when 75% of those come back with no matching Social Security record, it should make every California wonder, why do we have a system like that?
Taking place here in California.
Well, we get our information from the Secretary of State. We get it directly from them. It's a lot of information and it's very complex. And so we get this from the state, we package it up, and we help with our other researchers across the state that go and break it down into their own counties.
So we have all this information, and now we're going to go head out into the streets of California and see what fraud we can find. Where's the first place we're going?
We're going to the local retirement community, and the reason this one is just kind of particularly odd, you got 45 people registered, and 41 of them actually turned out to vote in the last election. So that's just, again, not typical for 55 to 70% turnout. So it's a mental crisis, senior, you know, rehabilitation center. So we're just going to go there and see, is there 45 people there? Is there beds? And check it out.
Can we speak to the supervisor?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, it looks like there was maybe 41 of 45 people that are registered here. Does that seem low or high to you? Like as far as how many patients or residents you have?
That's probably not accurate anymore.
So that lady right there said that that's probably not accurate.
Right.
So this could be a huge location where hundreds of votes could be casted from this one location. She said that numbers sound like they're inaccurate, 41 out of 45.
Correct.
So is there a lot more people that could be registered to vote and could be having their voices expressed?
Well, let's move on to the next location.
You got it.
Now we're here in the University of San Diego because they got lots of voters here. But what's the deal with this location?
It's some sort of institute for peace and justice, so it doesn't seem like you'd have a lot of voters, like, registered at some sort of an administrative office, but it very well could be, you know? I mean, there's students that are all over the place here, so maybe it's some sort of a central mailing house or something like that.
You have a conference room, you have Garden of the Sky, the Croc School, classrooms, conference rooms, anything but dorms. And this is the location where 58 people are registered to vote here inside of the state of California.
Is this like a central mailing location, like this building for this, students and stuff?
No, this one is not. So we do have a mail center.
Because right here on the John B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice, it says we had 58 registered to vote, and 50 people voted from this location.
So is 5998 Alcala Park, you're saying,
is the entire university.
Is the entire university. So where do the ballots go?
I have no clue. Okay. I've never seen them.
So far, we're 0 for 2 as far as getting any clarity about where these votes are being cast from here.
Yeah, or any sort of real clarity.
And at these locations, when there's only around 40 to 50 people registered to vote in locations where there's hundreds and thousands of people, it leaves lots of room for speculations, especially when nobody actually knows what the real count is and where the votes are being casted from. And just a reminder, all this information from Ersin is the most up-to-date information from the Secretary of State of California as far as the voter rolls go. The fraud continues. Now we're outside of a extra space, a storage unit location here. Five people are registered to vote.
Correct.
Did they cast their votes?
Three of them did in the 24 election. Then we had one that cast a ballot in the 2020 election and one that's never voted. The point is that unless this is a primary residence, right, or where you can sleep, right, which no one's supposed to by law allowed to sleep in their public storage unit, then this is not a legal registration. And these are the things that the county continues to let slip through the cracks.
Let's see if they're here. We have the names of all five people. Let's see if they're here. How's it going, sir?
How are you doing today?
Good. We're just looking for a few people here. We have Lily Morey, Philip Thomas, Sydney Thomas, Robert Thomas. We're just looking for these individuals as they're registered to vote here.
Did you have people that live here at Extra Space?
Are you Robert Thomas?
Oh, okay. Okay, so who gave you this list real quick?
Oh, from the Secretary of State.
Yeah, it's publicly available information.
What about Robert, Sydney, Philip, and Lily Thomas? What about them? Do they also get their ballots here?
Who?
Robert Thomas, Sydney Thomas, John Thomas, and Philip Thomas. Do you know where any of those individuals are? Any of the Thomases?
No, they're not here right now.
There's no one living in storage facilities,
no.
Right?
That's
really
right?
The question, right? Just wondering if people are actually living in storage facilities.
So five people are registered to vote here. They confirm that nobody lives here. A little fishy. California's got some weird things going on. So five people, and they didn't know where any of the Thomases were, but this is their primary location.
Well, if those two people actually live here and this is where they stay, their primary residence, right? They get their driver's license here, their tax stuff comes here. It's completely legal. But the other people that are here that they didn't know or do know or so forth, right? Are they someone that was just getting something in a storage facility? So.
But this is a storage facility. There's no apartments here.
No.
Nobody's living here.
Not inside the storage facilities. But if the couple that we spoke to is actually, this is their primary residence, that would be legal under state law.
So for these five people that are registered and that cast their votes?
And if it's not them, then no, those are not legal.
Those are illegal votes. And so that right there is five potentially fraudulent votes in one location inside of a storage unit.
This is super important to understand before we go to the next location. In California, when you register to vote, you must be your domicile location, which is your primary residency. You can then put a different address to receive your mail, but for it to be on the voter registration form and for the voter rolls, it must be your domicile address, your primary address. Now we are going to start going to some of these locations where people have put their primary addresses as PO boxes. In locations like the one we're about to go to, over 30 people are registered to vote at this one UPS store. With this fraud, a lot of these people registered to vote have their primary residency at a UPS store or a United States Postal Service location. Right here, we have over 30 people who are registered to vote, and all these people right here, there's over 30 of them, are registered to vote, and this is their location, and a large majority of them actually voted in the 2024 election against Trump and Joe Biden. And right here, we have Gloria. Gloria voted in the last election. She's 100 years old.
Yeah, born in 1925. Still kicking.
What do you think about over 30 people are registered to vote in this UPS store right here? Is that a little strange to you?
Is it through P.O. boxes?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you trying to do, or what are you trying to prove?
Yeah, so... Well,
so you have to re-register where you live, right? Where your primary residence is. And so if you've got a primary residence that's a UPS store, there's a real tiny houses, you know, inside the UPS store for people to live in.
Probably. What's your guys' affiliation?
My name's Nick citizens. Shirley.
Yeah,
could you live inside a P.O. box?
No.
So do you think it's a little strange that here in California you have lots of people who are registered to vote from these P.O. boxes? Meanwhile, you don't even have to show your ID when you go and vote.
I don't want to be part of the whole MAGA storyline. Thank you.
This isn't a MAGA storyline, man. This is just the straight-up facts. Now we're going in.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Yeah. You're not allowed to be here. Can you step outside?
Could we talk to somebody?
No. Can you step
this outside? Is super important.
Yeah, can you step outside?
It has to do with our elections here, ma'am.
Okay, outside.
Can someone come and talk to us?
No. Okay.
Is Gloria here by chance? Because she's 100 years old and she voted last election from here. All right, so they won't even speak to us. Do you know Gloria? She's 100 years old. She voted last election here. She's supposed to live in one of these P.O. boxes.
What? No. I have no idea.
A little strange, right?
Yeah.
Sir, have you ever met like a Gloria or anything? She's supposed to live in one of these P.O. boxes. She voted.
No.
Don't. No idea. And another thing that's super concerning about all this fraud taking place is right now the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is also leading the way on polymarket as to who's going to be the Democrat nominee in 2028.
What do you think it says about states that don't require people to have voter ID?
It's like inconsistent, so people can kind of like tweak it however they want. So I don't know. I don't trust it. That's why.
Should states require people to show voter ID when they go and vote?
100%. Like, I think like people should be verified that that's them voting and that's like them as a person. Like, that needs to be like a face-to-face action. If they can't, there needs to be another way of verification.
And what makes you think that way? A lot of people don't think that way about voter ID.
I don't know. I think it's just like a common sense thing. Like, it should be you that's voting and like your vote that's going through. So it's not just like anybody.
Do you think people would pass you off for Ralph Saucedo if you just said you're Ralph Saucedo?
No. Like, if I said that to me, they'd be like, really?
This. Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Nick Shirley dropped an absolute, what is it, bombshell report at this point. The reality of this kid is going around California and he's trying to uncover what could potentially be voter fraud. I mean, this is a big, big deal. This has been going on for quite some time now. And California is one of the many states that is refusing to hand over their voter rolls to the DOJ so that they could sift through all of this. To see the full report, you got to head on over to Nick Shirley's page and do just that. But folks, election fraud is real. And they'll continue to tell you it's a conspiracy theory. Well, because they're all a part of it. They're hoping you don't catch on. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Let's dive into some of the things we've got lined up ahead for all of you. Anne Vandersteel is working on a report regarding the Epstein files, and she'll be joining us in the second hour of the program to break down the very latest. But we're also going to be covering, obviously, that shooting that took place yesterday in Rhode Island. Obviously, that was very, very tragic. And it involves another gender-confused individual. We'll bring you the very latest on that. Plus, President Trump is speaking out about DHS and the shutdown that's going on right now. It's a partial shutdown. I'll tell you what that means throughout the show as well. And then we're breaking down some of the latest regarding the Epstein files. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. And I think Steve Bannon got word of that and he gave comment yesterday. We'll bring you what he says is his defense regarding those text messages that Bannon was having between him and Jeffrey Epstein. We'll also play a clip of Dan Bongino defending the redactions that are currently being made on the Epstein files as well. So you could all hear it for yourself. It's actually very, very interesting of a take. But we'll also keep diving into a lot of really, really important stories. One that I think the American people need to see and need to know all about regarding the FBI and well, what they're currently holding back from local officials in Minnesota. We've got a lot more to discuss as well. So buckle up, folks. We've got another 2.5 hours coming your way. So let's dive into the very first story right now. As many of you guys probably saw yesterday, there was a tragic shooting around 3 p.m. yesterday. This involved a transgender, so biological man pretending to be a woman. I don't even know if I'd call him trans. This is a cross-dressing mentally ill person. He ended up killing two others, which apparently includes his wife. And himself, Three others were injured in all of this. The footage itself, we have the video. I could play that for you. The video from it is absolutely horrific. Take a look at this. This transgender individual, obviously this was someone who was very bitter about their divorce, went after and targeted his wife. Now, according to reports, she filed for divorce after he announced that he wanted to be a tranny. And as you see, that all took place. Police are describing this as a targeted event stemming from a domestic family dispute. Victims obviously included members of his family and friends. The suspect was at the arena to watch a family member play when the gunfire broke out. More than one weapon was recovered. A good Samaritan intervened to help stop the attack. No students or players of the hockey team were injured in any of this. The players and the families were bused to police headquarters. Over 100 interviews were conducted. And the game itself and the league itself were temporarily suspended as of right now. Again, this shooting is obviously tragic, but it involves a mentally ill man pretending to be a woman. And local police, I have to give them credit when credit's due. In clip one, you're going to hear them not hold back the truth, which so many local law enforcement agencies do actually nowadays. They don't want you to know when it's a tranny. And so they'll cover for the suspect. But this Rhode Island police station, well, they're not doing just that. Take a listen to clip one.
So what I can say right now that we have identified the person, the suspect, by a birth name. The birth name was Robert Dorgan. We have also learned that the person does go by the name of Roberta, also uses a last name of Esposito. But again, that will be all confirmed throughout the course of the investigation. As to their status, that really doesn't have anything to do with the investigation.
Do you have an age?
Yeah. 1969 he was born.
So that is actually very transparent. And you have to say, we'll give the police station the credit. I mean, this is something that they normally will not put out, as many of you guys have seen. You know, there's been speculations of individuals being trannies, and local PD never actually wants you to find out. We spoke about it earlier as well, that Canadian mass shooting that took place. That was obviously tragic, but law enforcement refused to even call the mass murderer the wrong pronouns, and even corrected a local journalist who decided to use the biological pronouns of the shooter. This is what's going on all around the country, and it's absolutely gut-wrenching to continue to see. But folks, we are up against a word war. I mean, they just try to manipulate words so they can control the narrative all the time. So if we could take one little ounce of positivity out of all of this so far, it's that local PD is actually doing their job by delivering the factually correct information. And obviously, it's 2026, so I guess that is a slight win in all of this. But folks, what happened yesterday was absolutely tragic and shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it's just another reminder of the violence that continues to occur with those who are part of the transgender community. It's endless violence. And there needs to be more further research done in all of that to see what's actually happening here. Folks, we're going to dive into a bunch of other stories throughout today's show. In the meantime, though, I want to let you know we have a couple more hours left on that 52% off sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over to the shop right now and make sure you snag these deals before it's too late. Your favorite supplements, 52% off. And I'm telling you, those energy shots, no caffeine, no jitters, all vitamins, you're going to want to grab a couple of those. There's never been a better sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there right now and make sure you snag it before it's too late. We only have a couple more hours left over at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's
it's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you could feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking things off by doing a little recap of some very important comments that were made by President Donald Trump yesterday as he made his way on Air Force One. Oh, man. You know, I don't know if you know, but we're in the middle of a DHS shutdown right now. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not a fan of extra agencies that we don't need, and given the fact that DHS is a result of the Patriot Act, and yeah, I'm usually on board for all of this. But in case you're someone who does like DHS, just so you know, federal agents are not being paid right now, and that includes our ICE agents as well. Now, obviously, this is another political theatrical moment for those who currently... Well, Democrats. There's no other way to put this. I mean, Democrats are the ones that do not want ICE to be able to operate. And they've done actually a pretty good job at making the lives of ICE agents hell. They continuously go out there and stalk these ICE agents. They have now done about 2 shutdowns, I think, in a matter of a couple of months. And, you know, it's not looking good for them. But ICE agents, they don't care. They're going to go out there and keep capturing rapists, murderers, and the worst of the worst. We're thankful for just that. But right now we're in kind of like feels like a hostage situation, honestly. Democrats just don't want to fund them. And it's not because they don't like ICE agents. We know they do. They like them when they were serving under Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton. They were big fans of ICE. Now, though, because President Trump is trying to conduct mass deportations, they're not big fans of him. And so yesterday in clip three, President Trump spoke openly about the DHS shutdown. Take a listen.
Any demands that Democrats are making that you're okay with?
Well, I don't like some of the things they're asking for. We're going to protect law enforcement. We're going to protect ICE. You know, they're part of the whole system that is working. In Washington, D.C. now is considered a very safe city. When I took over, it was a city that we were losing 2-3 people a week. Over 100 people a year were being murdered in Washington. Now it's considered a very safe city. And we did that. I did it over a fairly short period of time, too.
Yeah, I mean, just following the laws is what would result in that. And the problem is Democrats don't want to follow laws. Democrats have been lawless, but they love drafting laws. They love pushing laws because they want government to regulate those that they disagree with politically, but not themselves. They live without these regulations. The rest of us must abide by the law. So it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. The only group of people that Democrats really do align with are the criminals. The rest of us, the peasants, we must abide by whatever they want us to do. And that's what's going on throughout the country right now. They continuously are going in. And I keep seeing these videos and it makes my blood boil of their, you know, them trying to stop ICE agents from going out there and capturing literally rapists. Folks, this is all constructed. It was constructed under the Biden years where they wanted to make sure that if they were unable to get their way and give illegal aliens amnesty, what they wanted to do was specifically make sure that they overstacked the courts, overflooded ICE with a bunch of violent criminals so they couldn't deport those that they wanted to keep in this country. And that's what we're up against right now. Listen, I'm not a fan, and I'm not going to try to advocate for growing the government. I don't want that to happen. But how do you get rid of millions of people that don't belong here without expanding the resources for agencies like ICE, like Border Patrol? It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And again, I don't want to advocate for this, but I don't know of another solution on how to combat all of this. And we'll be taking calls later in the show. So when we do, if you have an idea, maybe call into the show. But it's really, really frustrating to sit back and watch unravel. Democrats don't care. They don't care. They don't care. And this administration talks a whole bunch of junk, but they don't actually do much about it. We haven't really seen much in the way of following up on those really tough Fox News soundbites, those letters. They sound very scary. But where's the action? There's never any action. That's the problem here. Democrats know that. That's why they do what they do. And they continue to get away with it. There's a reason for all of this. You know, President Trump yesterday, he decided, Gavin Newsom, AOC, Hillary Clinton, they're all abroad right now trying to, I guess it's kind of a way for them to pretend like they might have some potential of running for president. I don't know about Hillary. I almost called her Hillary. I don't know about Hillary. But AOC seems to think that she has a real shot at things. And that's quite impressive for a girl who just learned what the three branches of government were just a couple of weeks ago. But she's really putting her name out there. And she's really trying to make it seem like she could be a leader on a global level. Now, obviously, it's baffling. But that's what Democrats do. They seem to platform their dumbest so that they have to stick with their narrative and keep pushing it. They're just puppets. Theatrical puppets. Gavin Newsom, though, it doesn't really matter the fact that he has absolutely destroyed California. He, too, thinks he can one day be president of this country. And anyone who votes for these people or supports their presidential run, by the way, they should be flagged and thrown on the terrorist list because they really are terrorists. They are trying to destroy this country. In clip four, President Trump flames all three of these folks. Take a listen.
By the way, I watched AOC answering questions in Munich. This was not a good look for the United States. I watched Gavin Newsom answering questions for in Munich, and this was a bad look for our country. This was a bad. These two people are incompetent, and at least Hillary's competent. She's just Trump deranged. She was so deranged. She is an angry woman. But I watched the other two speaking and answering basic questions. Look, Gavin has destroyed California. And AOC, I never really got her to, I never heard her speak very much. And they started answering questions. She had no idea what was happening. She had no idea how to answer, you know, very important questions concerning the world. But she can't answer questions concerning New York City either, because New York City has got some problems.
Yeah, you know why she can't? Because she's dumb. She's dumb. But these are the kind of people we elevate. We elevate, not you and I, but those on the left. And there are some dumb Republicans too. But this is the problem. They're elevated because they make perfect political props. They are willing to put their faces out there. They have no ethics. And they continuously do this. AOC has done a pretty good job at trying to get young and dumb voters on board with her. But she's a communist. And most people don't call it out. And this is the problem I have too with this, folks. I don't know if you follow much on Fox. I'd highly recommend you don't. This is why I do it. I watch every news outlet so that you don't have to do that at home. And all I see all the time is that Fox continues to break in with Zohran Mamdani press conferences and AOC press conferences. Whenever they're doing something, they love broadcasting it. They are making these people's names even bigger. And yet they claim to be conservative. It feels like, and this wasn't when I worked at Fox, this is another outlet. They claimed to be conservative, but they were actually running, and they told us, this one individual who I always suspected was probably, in my opinion, somebody who was a part of the intel community who had infiltrated the news division at the company that I was working for. I always suspected, but this is what happens across newsrooms. I wish the American people could see what goes on in a newsroom. But they wanted us to push. There was a Democrat running for Congress, and this was supposed to be a conservative news outlet that I was working for. And they wanted us every hour, this one person wanted us every hour to play this person's congressional campaign ad. They're like, yeah, you can criticize it if you want. Just play it. Those on the right continuously platform these people. We make their brand even bigger. And even if we're sitting there and making fun of AOC, everyone knows when you say those three letters who you're referring to, we've made her bigger. Doesn't matter that she hasn't accomplished anything. Doesn't matter that she's low IQ. It doesn't even matter that she didn't even know what the three branches of government were prior to making her way into Congress. We the people, unfortunately, have made celebrities out of these low IQ communist pigs. The fact that AOC thought she could hit the red carpet up in this ridiculous, ridiculous dress tells you all you need to know. We're platforming these demons. We're making their brands even bigger by pretending and kind of bringing their name into the discussion. AOC is not an intelligent woman, but will they platform her? Yeah. And I've had enough of it. I'm constantly seeing these Zohran Mamdani press conferences, not because I'm actually looking for them, but it's because outlets like Fox continue to platform them. By the way, they're the ones with the blacklist where you can't go onto their network if you're someone who they don't like. Like, there will never be a day where you'll see me on Fox News. They hate me. But AOC, they'd give her some time. They'd give her a lot of time if she wanted to come on their platform. Why do you think that is? And speaking of low IQ Democrats, there's a man named, as we pivot into the Epstein files, Dan Goldman. Dan Goldman, in my opinion, is a very evil, evil man. A very evil man. Obviously, he's established great wealth prior, but he's also a great stock trader. One of the accounts I'd say you should probably follow if you're looking for stock advice. But he is someone who knows exactly how to manipulate words to pretend like there's some truth in what he's saying. What do I mean by that? Well, he continuously goes out there, and this is the big issue that I have with the Epstein files right now. I want there to be justice for these victims. I do. I actually want the people who were out there raping and torturing children to be hung from the highest tree. But right now, I can't get on board with a lot of this. Why? Because Democrats are utilizing this for their platforms, to run on this for the midterms, to trash the administration. Again, the last 4 years when the Biden regime was occupying the White House, they never spoke of Jeffrey Epstein. But now, since they could go after President Trump with this, they're doing just that. And they're trying to manipulate the words. And again, I know our buddy Bill, the Loomer fan club founder, Bill, always says it's a war on words. And it's true. It is a war on words. You got to take back the words. You got to redefine what these words truly do mean. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to associate President Trump, even though there's not a lick of evidence that prove that President Trump had affiliations with the torturing of children and the sexual abuse of children, Doesn't matter. They're still pushing this narrative. And what they do is they try to align President Trump's name with Jeffrey Epstein. And now they're referring to it. And it was really kind of crappy. And I do really love Thomas Massey as a person. I do believe that he is one of the very few who is morally driven. But hearing him refer to it as the Epstein administration, not cool. Not cool. Given the fact that the last administration did its very best to suppress that information, given the fact that the last administration had some guy occupying the White House that was literally accused by his own daughter of taking inappropriate showers. The last administration, obviously, we saw a man who was supposed to be president going around sniffing children, making children feel very uncomfortable. I mean, children were literally trying to get out of his hands as quick as they could. I mean, he literally was trying to eat a child. This is usually the stuff that you see at the Bohemian Grove. You don't see this happening in 3 days, but this is the guy who was occupying the White House. It didn't just happen once, too, folks. It kept happening. Oh, yeah, it's so funny. Me eating children. Joe Biden, an absolute disgrace. An absolute disgrace. But back to Dan Goldman. In clip 5, you're going to hear him do what they all are trying to do, and they're trying to make this connection and bridge this gap between President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Take a listen to clip 5.
That's that email you referenced. Has it been unredacted yet?
Nope, it has not, and there will be more to come. And the importance of it is far greater in my mind than simply what is in there. It is clearly not permitted to be redacted under any privilege. And the fact that it is redacted from public view, but allowed for members to see, when it relates to statements that Donald Trump made, makes it very, very clear that it is a part of a cover-up. And that's why the 2.5 to 3 million documents that are being withheld without any explanation are so important to be uncovered and to be handed over to Congress and for the American people to see, because we have evidence that they are covering up for Donald Trump. So that's what we can actually see, what members of Congress can unveil by going over there. Imagine what we can't see in those 2.5 to 3 million files. And, you know, if Trump wants to put his name on everything, as he does, then let's start calling this the Trump Epstein files.
Yeah, it's an attempt to push this false narrative. And again, I mean, you want to talk about an administration covering up. I mean, there's been several Democrats occupying the White House. Has Dan Goldman called for them to release any of this? Of course not. Course not. Again, this is the problem here. They all love jumping on board now because they could utilize this to their political advantage as they head into midterms. This is what they're going to do. And this is the reason why so many of us are not so enthusiastic about the files, because it is being manipulated. They have released, this administration has released more information regarding Jeffrey Epstein than the last administration, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, of course, I'm against the redactions, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm against the fact that a lot of the information that's come out, really, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. When we sit here, and I did a whole spiel about this yesterday, how there's over 3 million documents, you're not going to charge any of them. Well, that's obviously ridiculous. And let's play this. Let's go to clip 7. Dan Bongino yesterday, he was kind of going off, and I know a lot of people are going after him for this. He was defending the redactions that have been made thus far in this clip. Take a listen to clip 7.
Disturbing case with a bunch of level 10 decisions where there's a decision and a shittier one. Do we redact these four guys in a lineup knowing people are going to speculate about, gosh, who were these four guys? Were they part of this ring? Were they part of a cabal of people? Or don't redact them and then, you know, innocent people get outed. These were the decisions that had to be dealt with every day. Decisions and shittier ones. That's what President Trump has to deal with every single day of his life, and everyone else at that principal level. Everyone. Mike Davis, I can't tell you about this tweet enough because it describes everything. But this is an early tweet, by the way. Mike was on this from the start. This guy's a fantastic lawyer. Mike Davis nailed this from the beginning about what the problems were going to be on the case. If anyone wants kind of a rational, reason-based approach, put that tweet up. I thought that was a hint, the Mike Davis tweet. I got him. He says, here's the problem with the Epstein mess. The FBI doesn't have the evidence many thought it did. You can see the emails on that when we're querying, hey, is there an uncharged third party here? There are not tapes with powerful men raping kids. There is not a list. Epstein's Rolodex is already public. The file is largely unreleasable for many reasons, including grand jury materials, correct, 6E material, court records under seal, was correct, child pornography and pornography in general, I explained that, victims who need to be protected, they don't want their names out there, and unsubstantiated, even double or triple hearsay, and some bogus claims, which would permanently destroy the reputation of innocent people if released. That's it, summed up. That's how it goes.
I don't think that's how it goes. I don't think that's how it should go. Hear me out, folks. I do my very best when we're talking about these Epstein files to issue disclaimers saying that this does not mean that these names are those who were participants in any of the sexual abuse that we saw or keep learning about at Epstein Island and at his properties. So it's us, the American people. It's our responsibility to not just assume when someone's name is dropped that they are over there and they're abusing children. That's not fair to do to anyone. And I understand that completely. But the American people are intelligent enough to understand that. We don't need our government making our decisions for us. And I've always stood on that ground. I've always advocated for us, the American people, making our own decisions from the very beginning. I mean, when COVID was happening and they were trying to get us all to participate in their experimental jabs, force us all to wear masks, the American people are intelligent enough to make their own decisions. The government doesn't have to do it for us. Even when we were for selling TikTok, a lot of conservatives jumping on board for that one saying, oh no, let the government ban TikTok. It's fine. TikTok's not good. It's owned by the Chinese. It's not good. My rebuttal, why can't we educate Americans to understand that the CCP is our enemy? The CCP is spying on these Americans. And that when you utilize a platform like TikTok, you are participating in their communist takeover. No. We need the government to regulate that. I'm tired of the government stepping in. I don't need the government to make decisions for me. I consider myself to be a highly intelligent person. You give me the facts, even from both sides of the argument, I can make my own decision. So when it comes to seeing these names, I want to see these names. And if it was as innocent as Dan's saying, and again, I get it. Dan's speaking from the perspective of an individual who just came from the FBI. So that's his perspective on things. But when I look at the release of the list that was dropped on us over the weekend and a bunch of names just thrown out there by the DOJ, no context. And even if you go to like Marjorie Taylor Greene's name and you try to find the docs, it's just all black boxes out. So you don't even know why her name is on the list. Kat Turd even made the list. His name is in the files. How does that happen? Well, doesn't matter. We could say that Kat Turd's now in the Epstein files. You see, it's all meant to be confusing. And I don't think it's fair to sit here and say that we, the government, are going to decide all of this, whose name gets thrown out there. I try my very best to be as protective as I can over these names when they are people who are truly not wrapped up into any of this. You know, yesterday I spoke about Steve Bannon, and Steve Bannon has now come out and spoken to the New York Times, and it's long overdue, but in reference to the text messages between Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein, which obviously have a lot of people fired up. Yesterday, we talked about how Bannon was referring to Epstein as a god. In his rebuttal, he does claim, I am a filmmaker and a TV host with decades of experience interviewing controversial figures. That's the only lens through which these private communications should be viewed. So he was working to secure a 50 hours of interviews. Now, is that excuse good enough for you all at home? Well, that's for you to decide. That's for you to decide. At least he's speaking out on the issue, yes. But should he have sooner? Maybe. Yeah, for sure. Because we've been asking questions for quite some time now about this. And I wanted him to have the opportunity to defend himself. So right now, Steve Bannon's saying, when you look at the files, realize something. Realize I was trying to secure an interview. Now, I can understand some of that, but when it comes to someone who has been convicted of being a pedophile, there's not an interview that's worthy of me playing footsie with someone like that. And that's my opinion. And everyone's allowed to have their own opinion on the matter. But it's all a matter of putting out the facts, making sure the American people see through this, and make sure that you have access to this information. I want to play a soundbite in part, and I'll jump in on this one. But let's go to clip six. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about her fallout with President Trump.
Here's the interesting part. Okay, there were only four Republicans, only four of us, that signed that discharge petition. Thomas Massie, myself, Lauren Boebert, and Nancy Mace. Now, what was happening in the background for months leading up to when we finally got it released is we were getting pressure from the White House. We were getting pressure from the Speaker. Do not take your name off this discharge petition. And we're like, why? We're talking about the Epstein files. This is the ultimate promise. This is the ultimate way to provide transparency. This is the ultimate way to take it to the deep state and expose a whole criminal cabal of rich, powerful elites that I believe control everything. And guess what? Come to find out, they do.
They do.
And, you know, so we're like, why? So in the meantime, President Trump is calling it, I've seen the whole thing a hoax. Yeah. He's calling it a Democrat hoax. He won't have anything to do with the women. He still refuses to have anything to do with these women. So this whole thing is building. The women are saying President Trump did nothing wrong. They still say this. President Trump did nothing wrong.
I know.
Their attorney says President Trump, Donald Trump's the only one that helped us. And guess what? That came out in the Epstein files that he reported Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep.
So like. But Donald Trump is fighting it. President Trump is fighting it. President Trump is yelling at me. The White House is putting pressure on Nancy Mace. They take Lauren Boebert in a skiff. I don't even know what they said to her in there. They are attacking Thomas Massie, nonstop attacking Thomas Massie. And then one day I get a phone call from the president's in September, and he is so mad at me. And he's yelling at me and he's angry at me. And the fact that he's like, you're supporting Rand Paul Jr. And he's chewing me out for signing my name on Thomas Massie's discharge petition to release the Epstein files. And I'm trying to tell him, Mr. President, they say you did nothing wrong.
I'm going to step in on this. That is obviously what's been going on behind the scenes. We got more to dive into. Ann Vandersteel joining us in just a moment to break this all down.
See through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those yellowshowstore.com. No matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones network that's been built. So key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjones.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit Complex, the Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please, get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.